Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we get out of the car and hop on the bus for some talk about funding for public transit, both in the greater Wausau area and even all across Wisconsin. The issue is the subject of a forum that will be held tonight at 7 o'clock at the UW Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement in Wausau. I'll be moderating that event, and we've got two of the panelists with us today. Greg Soibert is the director of the Wausau Area Metro Ride Bus System, and Keen Winters, a Wausau City Councilman, is the vice chair of the Wausau Area Transit Commission. Now, we also hope to hear from two of the other panelists, Daniel Guild, administrator for the Village of Weston, and Rabbi Dan Danson, a board member of NAOMI, the faith-based group that has made public transit a priority. We will also hear this morning from at least one bus rider and from two of our elected representatives, John Spiros, a Republican from Marshfield, and Mandy Wright, a Democrat from Wausau. Public transit became threatened in the greater Wausau area because of state budget cuts, which led the communities of Weston, Schofield, and Rothschild to pull out of the Metro Ride system. Limited bus service was restored in those communities, but the sticking point has been funding, with overburdened property owners reluctant to pay for additional tax increases. Keen Winters, one of our guests, has a suggestion. Why not allow individual municipalities to levy small increases in the sales tax to pay for the buses? We'll be looking at that proposal in detail today, and we want your input. Is bus service important to you? What about for the disabled and the elderly who can't get around without it? Would you be willing to pay for a small increase in the sales tax to fund it? Give us a call. Our lines are open for your questions and comments at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Greg and Keen, thanks so much for being with us today. We've got a lot on our plate.
Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you.
And, Greg, let's start with you just to establish some parameters here. What's the current bus schedule like, the daily service for Metro Ride, and how often do those buses run and where do they go?
Well, we have at this point seven routes that operate at 30-minute intervals within the city of Wausau, and then we have an additional route that runs seven routes a day connecting the three southern communities, Schofield, Rothschild, and Weston, to the rest of the system. We run 6 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. Unfortunately, we no longer run on the weekends. We eliminated Saturday service in 2012.
So what are the other limitations? We've got two of them here. You don't run after 6 p.m. You don't run on the weekends. What are the areas of the metro system that you don't cover or you only cover sporadically?
Well, I mentioned the four communities that we do serve. We cover Wausau fairly extensively. We have limited service in Schofield, Rothschild, and Weston. We do not serve a major retail corridor, which is in the town of Vermountain. That's an area where we get a lot of requests from current passengers.
And who are your customers? Give me an idea of who's riding the bus and how many people ride it every year.
Well, I think the perception is that, it's the elderly and disabled. The reality is that nearly 50% are students. An additional 25% or so are adults, which includes students going to UWMC and NTC. And another 25% or so are elderly and disabled.
How important is that bus service to the elderly and disabled?
Well, for many, it's critical. There are no alternatives in some cases if they need assistance, particularly with a mobility device if they are disabled. And for some, because of income, there are no affordable options. I would like to point out that in addition to bus service, we provide a separate but equal service for the disabled who cannot use our bus service because of the disability. That's called paratransit service. That is provided in the same service area and during the same hours, and it's a more individualized service.
Explain to me how that works.
Well, they schedule a ride at least a day in advance, and it's basically a taxi service. We arrive at their destination, and we take them where it is they want to go.
Now, there's no way that you can fund something like that just with ticket prices for individual users or by billing the people who use the individual transit service. Is that correct?
That's correct. There isn't a profitable public transit system in the country. Public transit systems were private transit systems up until the late 1960s, early 1970s, and the private operators all went out of business because they could not make a profit anymore. So municipalities across the country were faced with a decision. Do we continue this service and fund it ourselves, or do we let it go away? And Wausau went to referendum in 1972, and it passed successfully, and they've owned the system ever since.
How are you funded if the ticket prices don't pay for it? What's the breakdown?
Well, the fares cover roughly 15%. The state and the federal governments pay a large portion, currently about 55%. And then the local municipalities that participate pay the rest.
King Winters, in your experience as an alderman and somebody who is the vice chair of the Transit Commission, you've done a little bit of research, and that bus service is pretty important to a lot of people.
It is, and one example I'll give you is when where my sort of first awakening in terms of thinking about bus service is when I campaigned for my seat on the council. I went door to door in my district, and I had two people come to the door in wheelchairs and say, the bus is how I get to work, the bus is how I get to around, I need the bus out in Riverview, and certainly in Riverview where I represent, you know, that's not a destination. By the time the bus gets out there, it's probably pretty empty, but if we didn't have that, citizens couldn't live and work in Riverview.
I want to play a short clip from a news story that I actually did 3 years ago, and I don't want to play it in order to revisit an old issue. Greg, you'll remember at that time that there was a lot of new legislation being passed in Madison, one of which involved public union workers, and there was a fear that that would lead to the loss of a lot of federal transit dollars, right. And you were faced with maybe having to shut down the entire system. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
And I went out and covered that story by actually getting on the bus and riding with some people. And I'm going to play this clip, again, not to revisit that issue because that's been resolved, but so you can hear the voices of some of these people and understand exactly how important bus service is to them. The Wausau Metro system serves more than 850,000 riders a year. Ron Duranzo is retired, but he says he knows many working people who depend on it.
It's going to ruin them. It's going to ruin them. There's lots of people that take the bus for work.
One of those people is Danette A., a developmentally disabled adult who rides the bus from downtown Wausau to the Northern Valley Workshop, where she and other disabled people are employed.
I wouldn't make it. They said, how would we get out to work? How would people get to work, I mean?
67-year-old Leroy B. uses the bus to get to the county health center.
I'd be screwed. I have no car, and I can't afford a cab. I'm a low-income person.
Eugene Harris Jr. rides the bus to work at the Neighbor's Place food pantry.
Or just I have to walk. Hey, you just got to put your nose to the grass, though, to figure out something.
Jackie Berger was on the bus because her car was totaled in an accident.
I don't use the bus as a rule, but I don't think it's fair for the people that do. I disagree with this thing 100%.
And those are bus riders that we recorded back in 2011. But Greg Soibert, those are the people who really depend on that bus every day.
Well, our goal has long been to provide a service that, first of all, meets the basic needs of those who are transit dependent, those who have no other options, those who cannot afford other options. But secondarily, we try to provide a service that's appealing to the broader community. It's important to us that we remain relevant to the average taxpayer.
And are you relevant to the average taxpayer? Do people think that the taxes are too high?
Well, I think we become less relevant when we become less convenient, when we diminish the audience that is able to use our services because of the level of service we provide. Given the cuts that we've made in the last three or so years, it has made the service less attractive to the broader community.
Keene Winters, that's something you shared with me the other day when we were talking about this.
Yeah, I would jump in on that. And part of it, I think, is shifting demographics and shifting from a Wausau-centric focus to a metro area understanding of how we are. So in Marathon County, there's 134,000 people. 62% of them live in what is the metro core, the seven communities that make up the Wausau and the surrounding area. And those communities, and of that now, Wausau is 29% of the county population. So we're less than half of the metro area. And so when we have a bus system that does not go to Cedar Creek, that does not go to the Rib Mountain Transport area, does not go to Globe University, does not go to Rasmussen College, does not really effectively go to the Shopko Plaza, the Target Plaza, or St. Clair's Hospital, it really becomes not relevant to the metro area. And so we really have to shift our focus to having a metro bus system than rather a Wausau-centric bus system
to
include all our citizens.
So you've got a couple of problems here. The one problem is that you don't have the funding to pay for it, and people are reluctant to pay for it because not enough people use it. But people don't use it because it's not running often enough and going to enough places, because people are reluctant to pay for it. So it's your classic catch-22.
Yes, it is. And so you get into wonky issues like this. And really what I'm proposing is swapping, using property tax as a funding mechanism and using sales tax, which is a broader-based system, which we could have a lower tax for the system. And transportation, and so that's how you make government more efficient and effective. And sometimes when people look at this from a philosophical level, they say tax is a tax is a tax. Well, and what does it matter? It does matter because property taxes were designed to fund things that addressed property. So fire protection, street construction, police service, those things that either protect or enhance the value of your property. And when you start using them for things like bus service, which is really becomes more of a social service or a social policy, mm-hmm. Then you get unfairness in the tax system, which leads to rejection. And so having the appropriate revenue source for the appropriate type of service is the kinds of way that we make government more efficient and more effective and more palatable.
Now, explain to me exactly how this sales tax concept would work.
Well, we would be allowed to, the existing model here for sales tax is the room tax in Wausau. So
the room tax is essentially a sales tax, isn't it?
We refer to it as the room tax all the time. But about 6 or 8 years ago, the legislature gave local municipalities the right to levy a percentage tax on rooms, so that and then the money raised from that sales tax is used for activities that fund tourism. So Wausau area events, things like the balloon rally, get money from taxing people who come and stay in Wausau in their rooms. And so we would be looking to do something similar with bus service.
Let's get into the wonkiness of it right now. How much are we talking about levying in the city of Wausau? And as I understand it, you've got things figured out so that there would actually be different sales tax rates for different communities. Wausau would pay a different rate, Schofield, Weston, Rothschild.
Well, that would be one of the features of this system, which really is a modified version of the regional transit authority system. Within a regional transit authority, everyone would pay the same rate, but not everyone would be receiving the same level of service. So Wausau, which has a much more extensive bus presence, at least for now, would be paying 7 basis points. And you have to know a basis point is 1/100th of a percent. If you wanted to think of it as $7 on a $10,000 sale.
So it's a 0.07% sales tax.
That's right, you're not talking
about a lot of money.
And for those communities right now, like Schofield, which uses it would be more like a 0.05. And for places like Weston and probably Rib Mountain, if they join, it would be something like a 0.02.
So we're not talking about a lot of money.
We're not talking about a lot of money.
But yet you may have some opposition from big item retailers like car dealers who don't want to see their ticket prices go up at all.
Well, and I've actually heard that comment and said, if you do this, I'll never buy another car in the Wausau area, and I will drive to Anago or some other place. And when you say, well, it's $7 per thousand, and last time I bought a car, I made several trips to the dealership, you would be really penny wise and pound foolish to try and shop around this, because the amount you'd spend in gas and time simply wouldn't.
Now, I don't want to get too bogged down. I feel like we're spending half the time here just doing definitions, but you mentioned RTAs or regional transit authorities, and that was a proposal that was a state commission came up on that as a possible solution to the funding problems for mass transit. Explain to me what an RTA is, just briefly, and how it would work.
Okay. It would be a multi-community new jurisdiction. So many communities would join, say Wausau, Weston, Schofield, Rothschilds would hit, and then it would be like a mini tech district where it would have its own board and its own tax levy authority, and it would involve several communities in it. And look, regional transit authorities are something that are used in other states. They're not just made up, and they did have a brief history here in Wisconsin where we used them in some large communities. So it's a funding mechanism that's out there in other places.
But it's apparently a non-starter in Madison, correct?
I would think so. The palatability of creating a new layer of government and a new layer of taxes is probably a non-starter.
And then you've got a problem with individual municipalities, a lot of whom don't get along very well with each other anyway, saying, we want to give up our taxing authority to this other regional border entity. Does Schofield want to give it up? Weston, Wausau, Rothschild.
That's right.
Well, we have a caller on right now who is very important to this conversation. He is Daniel Gill, the village administrator of Weston. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Daniel, have you been listening to the conversation?
I have.
And we understand that you're on board with the sales tax concept with Keene.
Well, I am just willing to be a part of a conversation in which we can figure out a long-term funding solution for mass transit. Weston is having some challenges with trying to financially support this service on the property taxes, both now and definitely in the future. And we need to come up with ideas. We need to have some conversations, and we need to discuss what the solutions are going forward. And we want to be a part of that conversation.
Well, Daniel, you've been village administrator of Weston for how long now?
About 14 months.
About 14 months. When you took over, you walked into a hornet's nest, at least from my observation. The village was in the midst of this big fight over public transit. You had the activists and this faith-based group, Naomi, who'd gotten a binding referendum passed to bring back bus service, but village leaders listening to the public balked because of opposition to raising property taxes, threats of a lawsuit against the village, a lot of bad press. What was that like?
Well, I think that that situations like this actually are not to be unexpected. We're going through some very challenging times right now in local government, not just as a result of kind of the aftermath of the Great Recession, but also due to historic changes in the funding of local governments and the relationship that we have with the state. So certainly it was contentious, and it was a busy time, but I guess not to be unexpected considering some of the challenges that we face.
And yet you and the village leaders, as always, you've got to put most of the credit for the village leaders, the people on the city council. You managed to reach a tone of reconciliation, and a compromise was reached. Tell us about that.
Well, it took a lot of discussion, and certainly both myself as a local government professional, and I would say that all the citizens here in Weston really benefit from having a very seasoned and tenured board of trustees. There are several of them that have been associated with our organization for a long time. The challenge of reaching this compromise was, we had a binding referendum that said that we had to provide bus service. But we also had the following referendum in November that the community did not give us authorization to raise taxes to pay for it. So short of continuing to argue and fight and potentially keep suing each other, compromise was really the best solution for trying to figure out what to do going forward.
Boy, that's so common in government, Keene, isn't it, that voters, they want services, but they don't want to pay for them.
That's true. And Dan has highlighted sort of the shift that is they're taking place right now. And transportation, transit, which is a smaller portion of transportation policy, is really caught in that shift. So if you think about transportation, that's roads, bridges, construction, and funding bus service was a little corner of that. And the way we funded that in Wisconsin is with a gas tax and your vehicle registration fees. And that fund is now broke, and they have decided to take transit bus service out of that fund. And then the local portion was property tax. If we're rethinking at the state level where the dollars come from for transit, we should be rethinking at the local level and tuning that up as well.
And Daniel Guild, is bus service important to a lot of people in Weston, or is it something that's just being used by a few people who have no other option for transportation?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. I think that certainly for those that are elderly, disabled, infirmed, the population that truly needs it to get around in order to be independent individuals, obviously, some mode of transportation is critical to their lives and their livelihoods. We recognize that. However, there are so many other services, not just transportation, that we're having to look at, and we're having to look at making tough decisions about what we can do that's in the best interest of everybody. And we're going to be having to scale back. We're going to have to be offering less services if we're going to be able to preserve those core expectations that people have in the community going forward, given the shifts in financing. So it's not something that we wake up every morning and say, boy, we're really thrilled that we're confronted with these challenges, and mm-hmm. you know, that we don't have any pause or second thoughts as we make tough choices, but we're going to have to make tough choices, and it just may be that the challenge of local governments for the next decade will not be about trying to offer more, but engaging in very difficult conversations with people about offering less.
Do you think, on a philosophical level, do you think a robust public transit system is something that's a vital part, or at least a benefit to a metropolitan area?
Well, again, it just there's a lot of different philosophies out there. There's a lot of different viewpoints. I've certainly heard probably all of them, I think, from people here in the Weston community over the last year. I, as an administrator, you know, my job is not to necessarily endorse or advocate for one philosophy over the other, but to ultimately serve the Board of Trustees. And, you know, our board is taking the position that they want to provide the best possible core traditional portfolio of services at the lowest possible tax rate that they can. And that low tax rate is really an important competitive component of an economic development strategy, especially when you consider how much it factors into industrial recruitment, industrial expansion. We're competing, not just with our neighbors here in the Wausau metro area, but we're competing with communities all across the Midwest and the Rust Belt. And property taxes and having a competitive property tax rate is absolutely essential to grow and recruit new jobs, particularly in the manufacturing and the industrial sectors.
Do you think the K route, the way it's set up right now, why don't I ask Greg Seubert this, what are the limitations of that for people who want to get to the St. Clair's medical complex and so on?
Well, we currently are running seven trips a day. you know, you referred to the compromise. This was the compromise. Hourly service would be 12 trips a day. We're running 7. So that creates some gaps during the day, and that has created some challenges for some customers. It is not usable by, I think, a broader customer base because of those limitations.
So, Daniel Guild, if I understand what Greg is saying, in order to get more people riding the bus and using it, you'd probably need to run the buses more often to Weston. Do you think that's in the cards, or maybe this sales tax idea is something that could make it happen?
Well, I certainly agree with Greg's assessment. It's hard to grow ridership if you don't have a, you know, fully functional, regularly scheduled, robust service with lots of different options. I get that, and I believe that the trustees get that. But that being said, you know, it's all about what you can afford. And, you know, Weston, due to a combination of, you know, decreased valuations resulting in, you know, changes because of the Great Recession, you know, the amount of cuts that mm-hmm. we received from the state, you know, we went into the 2013 fiscal year with about an $850,000 budget deficit in our operating fund, of which mass transit was, you know, around $100,000, you know, given the referendum language for the 1 hour,
right,
12 trips a day, you know, 5 days a week. So the compromise, which brought the service down for us to about $45,000 this year, was absolutely critical for us meeting our budget goals.
All right, very good.
So, yeah.
Daniel, we got it. We're going to see you at the forum tonight?
Absolutely.
All right, Daniel Gill, the Village Administrator of Weston. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us for this conversation, and we'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock.
Thank you for the opportunity to participate.
That's Daniel Gill, the Village Administrator of Weston. If you just joined us, we've also got Keene Winters, who's a Wausau City Councilman, who will also be at this forum tonight, and Greg Soibert, who's the Director of the Metro Ride system, the bus system. We're talking about public transit funding. Rabbi Dan Danson will also be on the panel tonight. I'll be moderating it. It is open to the public. It is an open forum at 7 o'clock this evening at UW Marathon County, specifically at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater. We hope to see you there. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, presenting Celebrating Summer, an exhibition of on-location paintings by plein air painters of America, illustrating the beauty of summer now through August 25th. More at lywam.org.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, and that transit forum is going on this evening at 7 o'clock at the UW Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement. And we're previewing that today on Route 51 with Keene Winters, who's on the Wausau Area Transit Commission, and Greg Soibert, who is the director of the Metro Ride system. We'd like to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742, if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 1-800-780-9742. Keene Winters, your reaction to what you just heard from Daniel Guild?
Well, I think Dan's comments are always perceptive, and I enjoy talking to him a lot about public policy. And one of the things that he has mentioned is that keeping that property tax rate low is not only about competition in this area, really competing for the attraction of businesses, manufacturing, insurance companies throughout the entire Midwest. And one of the things that caught my eye in reading the Wisconsin Transportation Policy and Finance Commission's report was that in most other states, they use another mechanism besides the property tax to fund bus service at the local level. In a sense, by choosing property tax instead of sales tax, we are putting ourselves at a competitive disadvantage with other municipalities in other states. And so we're really the last ones who are doing it. And so it's time to have that conversation.
Greg Soibert, would this additional funding mechanism make it easier to run the bus service, you know, as an administrator, and maybe extend it to other places?
Well, I would hope so. You know, one of the things that we've really been lacking over the last number of years is predictability, because We are funded by various levels of government. The acrimony, political acrimony at both the state and the federal levels has not been very helpful in allowing us to plan for the future. This local source of revenue that will hopefully be a bit more predictable should help us stabilize the system and plan for the future.
Let's go to the phones right now, 1-800-780-9742, and I believe we have Kathy Zorn on the line. Kathy, you're a bus rider, correct?
Yes, I am.
Kathy, tell us a little bit about yourself and why the buses are so important to you.
I am unable to drive, and it's my only form of affordable, reliable transportation. Taxis are too expensive. Have no family in town. Have church members that will take me place, but I want the independence of being able to go and be involved in the community just like anyone else.
Do you have a disability?
Yeah, visually impaired.
So you can't drive, and you absolutely rely on the buses. What do you use the buses for?
Everything. Shopping, doctor appointments, volunteer work, looking for a job, everything that anyone does with a car.
And you've been active with NAOMI, the faith-based group that made public transit a priority. Are you happy with the way things are going?
Yes and no. We need reliable funding for public transportation. If it's sales tax, property tax, RTAs, it's so unpredictable. And we need something to sustain it for the future and grow. And it's a problem across the country, not just Wausau. It's all over the country.
How common is your story? How many people do you know in the Wausau area who are in the same boat that you're in?
A lot of people. A lot of people. And it's not, some can't afford a car, so they rely on the bus. Some choose to ride the bus and not own a car. And some are transit dependent. And the need for it will grow as the elderly population grows and unable to drive anymore, and paratransit is part of that. You know, people that are in nursing homes need paratransit to get the medical appointments. It's their independence.
How do you react when people say we shouldn't have a service that doesn't pay for itself? Could you or other people in your position afford a big increase in ticket prices?
Not a real big increase, but I'm willing to pay some, but...
And what about people who say, I don't use the service, why should I have to pay for it with my property taxes or through sales tax?
You know, people that say that, they're one accident away, a stroke, a car accident. It could be them needing the bus. And they need to look at that. It could be their parents needing paratransit. It's, you know, it's for the good of the community to have public transportation.
Kathy, thanks so much for your comments. We really appreciate it. Good
luck.
Thank you. All right, we'll see you at the forum tonight?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
That's Kathy Zorn. She's a bus rider, and she will be at that forum, which, again, takes place tonight at UW Marathon County. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I think we've got Rabbi Dan Danson on the line right now. So what I'm going to do is take our second break right now, and then when we come back, we're going to hear from Rabbi Dan Danson. We'll also hear some short pre-recorded comments from Mandy Wright and John Spiros, who have some concerns about the sales tax proposal. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. The subject today is public transit with our guests, Keen Winters, who's a member of the Wausau Area Transit Commission, and also Greg Soibert, who's the director of Wausau Area Metro Ride. They will both be panelists at a forum tonight that I'll be moderating at the UW Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement. It is open to the public at 7 o'clock. We've been discussing Keen's novel idea of a sales tax that would fund public transit, and that sales tax would be administered differently for each community in a public transit system depending on how many people live there and how often they use the buses. We'd like to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742. And I believe we have Rabbi Dan Danson on the line. Dan, are you there?
Hi, Glenn.
Good to hear from you. You, of course, are going to be part of this public transit forum this evening. And as a member of the faith-based group NAOMI, Why did your group, why did all of these religious leaders take public transit on as an issue?
Well, I think the issue for us was fairness, and the issue for us was having everybody in the community being able to participate. The name of our campaign was Everyone Has a Place. And public transit is absolutely central, as you've been hearing, for many different people in the community, both people with disabilities and the elderly. But I think, as Greg has also pointed out, that as we move through different stages in life, when we're students, when we're seniors, if we have a job that doesn't pay that well, or if we hit a bump in the road, there are just many different points where public transit becomes central to our independence and our participation as a full member of society.
Is public transit a moral issue to you?
Well, I think for us, it's very much a moral issue, because it's about people having dignity, and it's about society making sure that everyone gets to participate as independent players and be able to contribute their full set of skills and gifts to the society.
You know, we hear often that we have a need for people in this society to be self-sufficient, to support themselves and not rely on the government for handouts. But the question with public transit is, how can they do that if they can't get to work?
Well, I think that's central. And I think the idea of handout is a peculiar issue. There are so many things in society that we would be unable to do without the infrastructure, without the sort of shared support. I think if every time I got in my car or you got in your car, and we were handed the full bill for what it costs us to drive, every mile for the road, the construction, the upkeep, I think we would soon become horrified at what we're doing. We all share in that kind of public supportive infrastructure. And our discussion was that the people who are, in a sense, have the least money to play in a political campaign shouldn't be crossed off the list just because they're not the most powerful players in society.
You know, Father Stephen Bryce, the former pastor of St. Anne's Catholic Church, Dan, he was a very strong advocate for the bus service and helped lead that referendum drive in Weston. He shared with me once that his actions generated a great deal of opposition from some of the more conservative members of his own congregation. Has that happened to you, or has it happened to other religious leaders in Naomi?
Well, I think, to be frank, I think Father Steve got the most direct heat. What I would say is that it's always a fraught moment when we're speaking from the pulpit about things that have direct political implications, because clearly our members have different views, and clearly we respect that our members have different views. We can never assume that God has tapped us on the shoulder and said, vote for this particular policy or this particular issue or this particular candidate. But what we can do is we still have a need to speak to values. And sometimes values have political implications. And it sort of gets back to the question of the proposal that Keane is making, that our role in this discussion is to keep the role of the centrality of transit in the public eye, and that is a moral issue. It then devolves to our representatives to then work out the challenging details. I'm not envious of the task that our elected officials have. But I think our job is to raise the question, and then there will be a variety of different perspectives on how we then address it and resolve it from there.
Well, let me follow up on that. Is it proper for church and synagogue leaders, you're supposed to be non-political, to engage in what many people perceive as politics, circulating a referendum, and then in some cases even threatening a lawsuit over the public transit issue?
Right. The You know, you can hear, depending on who comes on, about the sort of caution about what our role is and what's appropriate. I think there are times where, in a sense, we're saying that there's a certain kind of power allocation in society, and sometimes it's a fair thing to say. It's fair for us, on behalf of a group of people, to step up and say, we really want to help them get their fair share of what's going on in society, or we want to really raise the difficult question of what is our obligation to a variety of different groups in our society, in this case, the bus riders. And things do become political. If you completely back off political involvement from a moral perspective, you would never have had the civil rights movement. You would never have had the abolition movement. There are tremendous ways that religious groups have participated in great political debates in the society.
Dan, is there anything you'd like to add? We've got a jam-packed show here, and I've still got to get John Spiros and Mandy Wright in the next 10 minutes. Anything you'd like to add before we see you at the forum this evening?
You know, only to sort of talk about Kathy Zorin for a moment, because Kathy is the model to me of what we get when we provide transportation for all the members of our society. Kathy is dynamic and organized and fearless, and her contribution to her church and her social groups and to the debate in this community has been breathtaking. And I just want to remind people that we're helping people to contribute their skills to what we do. So that's just, and Kathy is for me the hero and model of that.
Rabbi Dan Dance. And Dan, thanks so much, and we'll see you this evening at 7 o'clock.
Your pleasure. Bye-bye.
Keen Winters, anything you'd like to add to what Dan just shared with us?
Well, I think it's interesting to put sort of a moral compass on these things, and from a more secular democratic perspective, as we watch emerging democracies, say in the Middle East, and you have one group that wins 51% of the election and then proceeds to essentially wipe out the other group, that's not the kind of consensus we have in democracy. So to frame this, bus transit is about 3% of the Wausau City budget, and people come up to me and do say, why don't we just get rid of it? Those buses are mostly empty. And I suppose we could, and then all of us would enjoy a 3% decrease in our taxes who pay it. But people like Kathy Zorin would be 100% wiped out. And so you have to weigh the penalty that you're imposing on this minority of folks versus the cost to the majority. And keep that in mind. And that, I think, is an important moral compass to a social compact that gives us democracy.
I'm going to turn now to our two elected state representatives who weighed in on the sales tax issue. We're going to hear first from John Spiros, a Republican from Marshfield, whose district, thanks to the new redistricting that took place in the state, stretches all the way around to the village of Weston. Here's John Spiros, a state representative, Republican from Marshfield.
There is a segment of the population that's very important for those who are senior citizens looking to get around, and those with disabilities. So I definitely understand that, you know, being a very important issue for those individuals.
What are possible solutions to the funding problem? Property taxes are so onerous in this state.
You know, that's a great question. What can be done? You know, from my standpoint, I'm just not a big fan of increased taxes. I know that Weston, they passed the busing, but then they basically turned down the levy to pay for it. If you're going to pass something, there has to be a way to pay for it. So that's a difficult part of it. City Councilman Keen Winters and Administrator Dan Guild, I know that they have an idea, and I think it's somewhat out of the box, and it's somewhat creative. But my big concern with that has to do with the sales tax increase. Well, one of them is just the big ticket items. Are people going to go elsewhere for big ticket items? And you have in Wausau, you have a number of car dealerships. You have a number of places that sell appliances. I mean, those are big ticket items that I think people would go to a different municipality if the tax was lower. The other thing is the Department of Revenue, I did ask them about this, and the way they're set up, they currently use 9-digit zip codes. And they don't overlap the county boundaries, and they also don't overlap municipal boundaries. What they're suggesting is that to put together a database for this would cost over $1 million. So who's going to pay for that? And that's one of the big, that's probably the big question right now is, you know, doing this sounds like it could be simple, but when you start getting down into the mechanics of it, there sounds like there could be some difficulties.
Republican Assemblyman John Spiros. Here's a Democratic Assemblywoman Mandy Wright of Wausau.
I think we absolutely need to address this within our community. There are many students that use the public transportation system, but also many people depend on public transportation to get to work. Many people who are disabled in our community would not be able to work, see their physicians, get health care, do their shopping without public transportation.
The sticking point always appears to be funding. A lot of property owners say their taxes are already too high and they don't want to pay for it.
I certainly don't want to see property taxes increased. I think that's an unfair burden for many people, especially people who can't afford it. But I do see that we are spending money in ways that don't necessarily support the community the way that public transportation should.
Keene Winters has a suggestion for passing a law in the state legislature that would allow individual municipalities to levy a small increase in the sales tax.
I am certainly appreciative of that suggestion. I think it's great that this is a priority of Mr. Winters, and he's looking for a unique solution. And I think absolutely a unique solution is probably what we need here, considering the political makeup of our state right now. On the other hand, though, I do have some concerns about that. My understanding is that we would increase our sales tax by about 0.1%, and I'm concerned about our local small businesses and how they would calculate that 0.1%, and that may be a real burden for some of them. I know a lot of our local businesses still do all their accounting by hand. The second is I've done some research at the state level, and this would be a pretty significant change for the Department of Administration and the Department of Revenue. And then third, this would take an actual change in state law. Right now, municipalities do not have the authority to raise sales taxes. If our community supports it, I would be more than happy to author and support this legislation. But not only would we have to make it happen at the state level, and I'm not sure that there is the political will to make it happen at the state level, but also then we would have to make it happen at the municipal level. So there are two very large political hurdles. I can't imagine that it would happen within 3 years, even if everything went very smoothly. And I'm just afraid that there's too many hurdles. It's not realistic. And we need to keep searching for other solutions.
Well, there's Representative Mandy Wright and John Spiros with some concerns, Keene Winters, about the sales tax proposal. Now, we've already talked about the big ticket items. Your idea is that a $7 surcharge on a $10,000 car isn't going to be that significant. But let's talk about this idea that the Department of Revenue would have to spend $1 million on new software to implement it. I mean, that could be a sticking point right there.
Well, I've been dealing with bureaucrats early in my career and later, and so that certainly doesn't hold water. We have a system in place for the collection of the room tax at the local level. It's done locally. We have the ability, if they give us a file, to bounce it against a GIS file, Geographic Information System file, and very quickly sort it down to municipality. So we certainly have the capability to do that without really any involvement from the Department of Revenue. But I would go on to say what we've been saying a lot in this program is this is a novel idea to raise taxes. It's not a tax raise. We're swapping property taxes for sales tax. We're not raising taxes. It's not a novel idea. Regional transit authorities exist in virtually every other state except Wisconsin. So the machinery is all there. This is being done in other places. And so it's not, some surprise out of the box idea. It's an amalgamation of research and how this is done in other places. And I think we could benefit from learning from those other places.
Greg Soibert, very quickly, you've got the last word.
Well, I'm just enthused that we're having a dialogue in the first place. I think one of the things that public transit could really benefit from is not only the revenue infusion, but the advocacy. And as a manager of public resources, I'm just pleased that we're having this conversation in the first place.
That's Greg Soibert, who is the director of the Metro Ride System, and also Keene Winters, who is a Wausau City Councilman. and a member of the Wausau Area Transit Commission. We want to thank both of them. And thanks also to Western Village Administrator Daniel Guild, Rabbi Dan Danson, State Representative John Spiros, Republican of Marshfield, State Representative Mandy Wright, Democrat of Wausau, and bus rider Kathy Zorn for their contributions to this program. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Amber Kranig. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. And a reminder that that forum is tonight at 7 o'clock at the UW Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement Theater. Next week on Route 51, our guest is Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind, a Democrat from the 3rd Congressional District who now represents much of central Wisconsin. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.